children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters, Mask's weekly radio show. Mask, mothers and fathers align, saving kids. Tonight, we are going to continue our conversation with Debbie Fox, LCSW from Magana Ladim and the School Safety Kit. She was on last week, and we had the conversation, the most difficult, painful issue that we need to address, unfortunately, but Baruch Hashem, it's being addressed, not just by MASK, by all the organizations, rabbis, community, askanim, are addressing it seriously, and that is molestation, prevention of molestation, and inappropriate touch. Let me give you my number again. Please write it down. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one. Maybe it's for your neighbor or someone you sit near in shul. Our confidential number, 718-758-0400, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Call anonymous, describe your situation, and we will try, my staff will try to get you the right person, the right therapist, the right rehab on all mental health issues. MASK is 21 years MASK has been doing this, over 48,000 families. And I just want everyone to know that it is not a one-person office. We have a big staff here ready to assist families. And our goal is prevention. We are not about just drugs. Some people meet me on the street. They say, oh, aren't you the organization that helps parents whose kids do drugs? The answer is no, not just drugs. We are in the elementary schools. We have people that do programs with MASK, therapists, interns that meet with the young adults, elementary, high school, about prevention. So let's do prevention. Listen, listen, listen. We must listen and understand what's going out there in the world. Unfortunately, all these painful topics. So tonight, I would like to welcome back Debbie Fox. Oh, sorry. Let me just give out the number again. 718-758-0400. And if anyone speak with Debbie, then just call MASK and we will connect you with Debbie. And tonight, I would like to again welcome the famous, amazing, really such a pleasure to always work with you, and that is Debbie Fox, LCSW, Magana Ladim, and the School Safety Kit. Thank you for being on again with us and continuing this most important prevention conversation. Debbie.
Oh, Ruchama, thank you for inviting me back. And I really just want to thank you and your entire team at MASK. And I really appreciated what you said about it not only being in reference to children who, you know, have addictions, because there are so many reasons that I send people to MASK for support for parents with all types of issues, and they always come back feeling so supported. So I really appreciate, I don't even know the names of all of your staff members, but I know that they've been there to support families I've sent.
Thank you, thank you. So, Debbie, let's get right to it. The show, you know, it always, every week I feel when we have to wrap up, it's like we're you know, out of breath because we want to get so much in. So let's get right to it. We spoke about molestation, but for those that did not hear last week's show, can I just ask you to repeat the definition of molestation, please?
Sure. Molestation is a crime, and molestation includes any sexual acts with children up to the age of 18. And that means, what does that include? It includes touching of private parts. It includes more than touching. There's touching that's molestation, and there's non-touching acts of molestation, which would mean exposing yourself to a child, exposure of genitalia to a child, taking pornographic pictures of a child, even showing a child pornographic pictures. Obviously, acts such as rape, that's considered rape, that's considered molestation. And even encouraging two children to act out together sexually and to sit back and watch that, that's also considered molestation. The other thing that's considered molestation is online solicitation of children. That's also inappropriate and against the law. So those, any act involving inappropriate touch, talking about, or, you know, exposure to genitalia of children is really molestation.
Thank you. Painful, painful, because we have on our helpline 21 years, over 48,000 families. I mean, the parents are lovely families, never had other issues in the family, suddenly finds out that their child was molested or there was incest. And it's so painful. They invite people to their home Shabbos. They take a nap. The guest is up. Things happen while you're sleeping. It's just so painful. But very important that we address this time of year is the camp. Let's talk about a general prevention conversation that parents could have with their family members prior to going to camp, whether it's day camp, sleepaway camp, camp in a bungalow colony, whatever camp. What is it? How is it? What is the language parents can use so that they are responsible and know that they made their children more aware and able to share with them if something happens?
Ruchama, I'm going to ask your permission to back up before I answer that question and really talk about keeping your own child safe at camp and some of the stages you need to do, and then I'm going to hone in on the conversation. Is that okay with you?
Fabulous. Great.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to say is, before you even send your child to a camp, is you really need to make sure that it's a safe camp. And one of the things that I feel strongly is that parents don't call camps and say, before we send our child to your camp, can you tell me what policies do you have for personal safety in the camp? What's your supervision policy? What training do you have for your counselors to make sure that they know about inappropriate touch and boundaries? I believe that if more and more and more parents called camps before camp and asked and required and requested this, I believe that more would happen. I believe the camps would have to step up because parents would be asking the question. So the first thing I say is make sure your camp is a safe camp. That's a parent's responsibility. Call the camp and find out what are their safety policies. At the same time, and what is their training, their policies and their training. At the same time, you need to be thinking about that if anything, chas v'shalom, happened to your child in camp, who at camp could they speak to? And you as a parent have to help identify a trusted adult at camp so that if something came up at camp and a child couldn't call a parent, they would know who to go to, whether that's the camp nurse, whether that's a head counselor, whether that's somebody you know, a family friend that happens to be up there. in your conversation with your children, you have to say, if you're ever uncomfortable and can't, I want you to speak to this person. Don't make them guess when they're in crisis. Let them know in advance. So number one is it a safe camp? Parents, that's your responsibility. You have to call. You have to make a stand that this is important to you. Number two is going to be the conversation that you have with your children, and we'll talk about that. Having a conversation, we'll focus on that. And then the third thing that I want to say is that when your children come back from camp, you need to be able to take a look at some of the signs and symptoms that we talked about last week. In other words, are you seeing any dramatic changes in your child? Is your child coming back and they're happy and everything's great and they had a great summer and they keep talking about it and everything's just exciting, just the way you would expect? Or are you seeing any differences that you're concerned about? Are you seeing any increased anxiety? So really, it's preparing for camp. It's having the conversation. And when they get back from camp, it's opening conversations with them and paying attention to their behavior and making sure that there are no differences and there aren't any red flag behaviors that are concerning to parents. So, Ruchama, that's what I feel would be a good preparation plan for your kids before they go to camp.
Right. You know, I always think to myself, we teach our children to watch the hot stove, to look both ways before they cross the street. But more often than not, body safety is not usually spoken about until children are much older, but until sometimes it's too late. So it's really important that parents take this very seriously at a very young age, because parents that call MASK for referrals, et cetera, and support, the ones that have the discussion with their children at a very young age, those are the ones whose children come back and tell them when something happens very at the onset, right away. Whereas those that don't have that conversation or a great relationship with their loved ones, it could be 10, 15, 20, and more years later that they may share with their parent, wife, sibling, whomever, that they were molested when they were younger. And then the parents sort of scratch their heads and say, we don't understand. Why didn't she come to us? Why didn't he tell us sooner? So I'd like you to address that, please, Debbie, the importance of that relationship and the early on conversation.
Thanks. I often say that if you're too afraid to talk about child sexual abuse before it happens, the only chance you may get to talk about it is after it happens, and none of us want that. Fewer than 30% of parents have ever discussed sexual abuse prevention with their children. And yet, I truly believe that it is the number one best, most effective tool for prevention is relationship with your parents. I think that is the number one tool for prevention. I think that parents are the ones who are responsible to open the conversation with children. We can't leave that responsibility to children. And these conversations are not a conversation that happens one time, because when we should start them when children are little. We absolutely have to start them in the bathtub when children are little. But they need to become developmental, and they need to not be what I call the big talk, the sit down and give them the big talk. But they need to be gentle conversations that continue over time as children grow, as children mature, as different situations happen, that there should be an easygoing way that parents are the ones who create that atmosphere of talking about inappropriate touch and uncomfortable touch, that a parent is the one who brings that up, that the conversations are calm and in very natural settings so that children feel comfortable with it. I often say, you know, if we all think back, we can think of one family And those kids could talk to their parents about anything. They had that mom that you could talk to, right?
Right.
We need to be that mom. We need to be that mom. We need to be that mom that our kids can talk to about anything. And we have to work on that by opening conversations and by letting them know that we're really comfortable with your asking about anything or talking to us about anything. In fact, we really want you to. These conversations
are
important.
And excuse me, I want to just mention to our listeners that we need to tell the children they'll never get into trouble, mm-hmm. that you'll believe them if they mm-hmm. come to you with something uncomfortable, like an uncle, a brother, a sister, somebody in a teacher, a Rebbe, someone, a tutor. You know, children are scared to tell the parents because they're usually warned by the perpetrator, right? So mm-hmm. how is it going to be if they go and tell the parent, listen, you know what? My Rebbe did this to me. You know, usually parents believe the teachers. So we really are trying to change that culture out there and believe the victim. And they shouldn't feel like they'll ever get into trouble if they share something that's going to be uncomfortable. If a grandfather touches a grandchild, that could ruin a whole family. It's a big responsibility for that victim to feel they're going to destroy a family. I mean, you have so many of those kind of cases, Debbie. You want to elaborate, mm-hmm. please?
I think that the ones within the family, and that is over 68% of molestation occurs within the family. It's a very high statistic. And within the from world, I think that is our experience, that it is a very high statistic. And it can be grandparents, which is so painful, because obviously grandparents are people we consider very trusted adults in our lives. And like you say, it can destroy a family. It can be, and often is, siblings, and older siblings. It can be anybody within your family. The important thing to do is to make sure your children know the rules of personal safety, which we're going to talk about in 1 minute, but make sure they know the rules. And then you as parents have to be responsible for supervision at home. And I know it's really hard in our homes. There are a lot of kids. But when we have people over, or even in your own home when people are not there, doors have to be open when kids are around. They can't have private, closed door relationships that you can't walk in and out on. There have been parents that have called me in tears after I've given workshops and said, please tell parents that when you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, open the doors of your kids' rooms, check on them, let your kids know that you come in the middle of the night and that you open up their doors, because of their own experiences with their own children. So supervise, make sure that you're comfortable with your relationships. Don't allow opportunities for children or other relatives. If a child says they're not comfortable with a relative, listen to them. So you want to make sure that you're a parent who's supervising these situations. And when a child does disclose, like you're saying, listen calmly. Just calmly listen. Be the receiver of what they tell you. Validate them for telling you, thank you for trusting me. Believe them. Always just believe them. Their number one reason children don't tell is because they're afraid you won't believe them. And then before acting on it, think about what the best plan is. But they need to know that you're going to work on it, that you're going to do something to help them and protect them.
You know, Debbie, somebody once told me, one of the parents, that they have a code word, that if a child feels unsafe at home with a guest in the house or a play date or a sleepover. The parents have a code word with the children in the family. And when they say that code word in a sentence, then the parents know they cannot leave their child alone with them. And one more thing, another family shared that they told their children, if ever you're in a situation that you're uncomfortable, somebody wants to touch them inappropriately or makes them uncomfortable, tickles them, whatever it may be, that they teach the children to say, oh, 1 minute, I must go to the bathroom. And then they get away from them. They try anyway. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. One more question I have before I'd like you to go on with the camp and the conversations is if the clarity about the difference between when a relative, a kid, a mother, father, whatever, whomever it is, tickles a child. You know, we talk about good touch, bad touch. It's all in the books, everywhere. It's very confusing for young children. So I know some of the terms sometimes is called secret touch. I'm wondering how you feel about that being used, secret touch.
Well, what we say to children is that any touch that's uncomfortable is an uncomfortable touch, and it's not allowed. So that if somebody wants to tickle you and it's okay, meaning it feels okay and you're with others and it's okay with you, then that's okay. But at any point that tickling becomes uncomfortable, then it's not okay. And in terms of secret, what we tell children is that no touch is ever a secret and no touch is ever a game. Touching of private parts is never a secret. If someone says this is a secret, then you know it's an automatic tell. And if they say this is just a game between you and I, and it involves touching private parts, then you know it's a say no, get away, and tell parents.
We have with us Debbie Fox from Magen Yeladim and the school safety kit. And we're talking about camp. Debbie's been doing this for over 30 years. She's really a specialist in this, trains around the world. Anyone, trained staff around the world, parents, if anybody would like to speak with Debbie Fox, feel free to call. Debbie, do you want to give out your number or should they contact MASC?
Probably through MASC is easiest.
Great. 718-758-0400. Call anonymously. Debbie, we have, I would say, around 5 minutes, 4 minutes left to this conversation. So I'd like you to get as much in as possible about camp and the parents and the conversations. Thank you.
Okay, great. So what I'm going to tell parents is these are helpful things to talk about with your child before camp. First of all, find a natural setting to do it. If you're buying bathing suits for girls or boys, you can do it in that setting. Hey, you know what? We haven't sat down and talked about personal safety. Let's talk about that. The reason I'm thinking about that is because we're getting a bathing suit. What we're going to be talking about is making sure that nobody touches your private parts, and private parts are the area covered by your bathing suit. So that might be a way. Find a natural setting when talking about camp to bring up the conversation. But these are some of the things you're going to want to bring up. Their private parts are those covered by a bathing suit. Nobody should ever touch, talk about, or look at the private areas of their body. And they are not allowed to look at, touch, or talk about anybody else's private parts. That touching, looking, and talking about private areas of the body is never a game. So that if anybody were to say, this is just a game, it's a game between you and I, it's just, no big deal, don't worry about it. Everybody plays these games. Touching a private part is never a game. It's an automatic do tell. You always have to tell a trusted adult. And the same is true of secrets. Nobody should ever tell you that anything related to touching private parts or to private parts and tell you it's a secret between you and them. When someone uses the word secret, you know it's an automatic do tell, and you have to talk about it with your parents. Nobody should ever tell a child to keep a secret from their parents. And if anybody ever breaks the safety rules or wants to or tries to touch, look at, or talk about their private parts, that what you want your children to do is to come and tell you immediately. They should yell no. They should yell or let the person know they're not okay with it. Get away and immediately tell a parent or a trusted adult. In camp, you have to be the one to identify that trusted adult. You have to reassure them that they're never going to be in trouble for telling you, that you care, and you will always try to get them help, and that you will believe them. And you also have to let them know that you're so sorry that somebody wronged them, because they need to know that you understand and believe that they are a victim. So you need to bring up for camp things like, even a counselor, even another camper. What would you do if a counselor or another camper wanted to play a touching game? What would you do? I would want you to say no, get out of the situation, and go talk to whoever the person is. What if it was a Rebbe? What would you do? So you want to be very real and very practical.
Debbie, I'm sure you have so much more to share with my listeners. We're going to try and get some of your talks onto our MASK website, maskparents.org. All our radio shows are on the website. This one included will be included after it is aired tonight. Then it'll be on the maskparents with an S .org. And anybody that wants to support MASK so that we can continue doing more of these shows and the work to sponsor the helpline, please go on our website, maskparents.org, and make a donation, whether it's a small one or a very large one. Everyone that donates to MASK becomes a partner in saving lives. So it's easy. Go on the website and just donate online. Debbie, it's been 21 years that we're working together. I want to say a special, special yashar koach to you for all the work that you do to protect our families in the Klal. I want to thank you, MASK thanks you for always being there for the MASK parents and my staff. It's great having you on. Anyone that wants to reach Debbie Fox, please call 718-758-0400. It's anonymous. And I want to wish all our listeners a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, Ruchama, and thank you for including me in the mission of MASK.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Hi, this is Zev Brenner. Nobody ever plans for an accident or an injury, but when it happens to you or your loved one, you need people who will help. If you or your loved one has recently been hurt, there is only one name and one firm that you should call, the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know them personally. For over 48 years, they have been fighting for injured people to get them the compensation they deserve for their injuries. When it comes to representing you and your loved ones, there is only one name, the Rothenberg Law Firm. If you've been injured, put the power, resources, and experience that only a multi-state law firm can deliver. Call 800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. or visit them online at injurylawyer.com. The Rothenberg Law Firm, injurylawyer.com.
KZN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.